Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday as we began the transition and getting you ready for the Kansas City Chiefs going on the road to play one of their biggest games of the season on the road against the Buffalo Bills. We'll get to that matchup here coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the World Series that is tied at 2 games apiece. We'll talk about the travel heard around the world yesterday from Giannis Antetokounmpo. He took 7 steps yesterday. He did the cha-cha slide in the NBC game yesterday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. There is a little bit of college football that I want to talk about that we didn't get a chance to cover yesterday in the show. We're going to talk a lot of Chiefs, a lot of college football, a lot of fall sports here as we are celebrating a very, very busy sports week and sports month here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you to listen to the show each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be cool if you could tell 2 people to listen to the show, but you know what? If you tell one person, I greatly appreciate that. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for a great place to watch a little bit of playoff baseball, if you're looking for a place to watch Thursday night football tomorrow, if you're looking for a place to watch Kansas City and Buffalo this weekend, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. Great food specials, great drink specials, televisions everywhere, great service. If you're looking for a place to hang out, have a drink, grab something to eat, and watch the game, be sure to check out our friends over at The Other Place. And I forgot to remind you guys that I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He joins us every Wednesday. He joined us earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up at 3:15. We'll catch up with the quarterback of the Chiefs in the 3 o'clock hour. So this is where I would like to begin today's show, begin the week, as we are moving on from the win against the Washington Commanders and moving on to the game against the Buffalo Bills. I feel very, very fortunate as an NFL fan. I would say that we grew up in a golden era of NFL fans. We got to see the entire character arc of Tom Brady, going from a quarterback that we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about to the controversy on whether or not he should continue being the starting quarterback and if Bill Belichick would make the move to go back to Drew Bledsoe, to seeing Brady win his first championship going down the field against the St. Louis Rams, to becoming the greatest quarterback of all time. We saw Peyton Manning as he couldn't win the Heisman Trophy, couldn't beat Florida, couldn't get over the hump early on in his career, won a couple of Super Bowls, and is one of the greatest quarterbacks in league history. We saw Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. There was a 15-year stretch there where you knew that the top of the NFL was bookend with all-time great, historic, iconic quarterbacks. And I think one of the questions in the National Football League is, what was that process going to look like as the old guys get phased out and you need new stars to take over? This is the conversation that is currently happening in the NBA, that the NBA has been dominated by LeBron, KD, and Steph, and the league, in my opinion, is struggling to find who are those next stars. Is Anthony Edwards going to be a player that you tune in? Is Victor Wembanyama going to be a player that gets you to sit down and watch him play basketball? You get the point that I'm making. We have seen the NFL very successfully be able to make that transition and make that jump where you have one of the greatest quarterbacks, the most talented quarterbacks in all time in Patrick Mahomes, and you have the storylines brewing with two great quarterbacks in their own respect with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and them being unable to get over the hump. The storyline, the year to year, every season, Mahomes, you look at the rings, you look at the trophy cabinet, you have all these awards and accolades and championships. You look at these other guys, they don't have nearly as much, and wondering if those guys are going to be able to break through and if they're going to be in a position to win a championship. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they played the Raiders, and I told you guys that I don't think the Chiefs and the Raiders are a rivalry anymore. Sure, they are in the same division, but it's not a rivalry. And as we were getting ready for this week, as we're getting ready for this game against the Buffalo Bills, I am reminded why this is a rivalry and why this game matters so much. This is the 10th time that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have gone up against each other. And if you're just thinking about the storylines that pop up when these two teams play each other, if there is one thing that you know that you can guarantee as an NFL fan, it is when you buy a ticket to watch these two go up against each other, when you sit down on your couch and you sit in front of your television and watch this, you know that you are going to see football theater at the absolute highest degree. Look at the last four matchups between these two teams. AFC Championship game, so the winner goes to the Super Bowl. It's that storyline we're talking about. Patrick Mahomes, can he win three straight Super Bowls? Josh Allen's never been to one. You got to go on the road and you got to try to beat him. You got the controversy about the tush push and first downs and the rules changes. Something always comes out when these two teams play each other. You then go back to the regular season, and Buffalo has a decision. It's a fourth down. Are they going to kick a field goal and give Patrick Mahomes a chance to go down the field and potentially beat them? Or are they going to take matters into their own hands, go for it on fourth down, and try to end the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, we saw the decision that was made. They make the choice to go for it. Josh Allen runs, scores a touchdown, and that's the end of the game. You go back to a couple of seasons ago, and you're talking about in the regular season, the Kadarius Toney lateral. Patrick Mahomes goes on his first playoff game on the road. Where was that game at? It's at Buffalo. This is what a professional sports rivalry should be. This is what a professional sports rivalry should look like. You have something that they want. You sit at the top of the mountain. You've been to three straight Super Bowls. You've had parades. You know what playoff disappointment feels like. You know what jubilation feels like. You got the greatest quarterback of their generation. You are the golden child. The league puts you on TV more than anybody else. Your tight end is dating an international superstar. You get to dictate the rules. And then you've got the underdog, so to speak, and I use that loosely in quotes. You've got a team that every day, if there is one team that thinks about how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and hates everything that the Chiefs have, it's the team that they're playing on Sunday. That's what a professional sports rivalry should be, and that's what it should feel like. It should feel like two teams that you know are playing at incredibly high levels that I'm sure there's great respect for both sides, but there also is a dislike because you are either trying to take something away from me that I've worked so hard for, or I spend all of my time trying to figure out how to make sure how you never have it. You never want to see Buffalo go to a Super Bowl. You don't want to see Josh Allen win the championship because that means your guys not winning the championship. That's what a rivalry should feel like. if you're just looking back at the last four times that these teams have played each other, AFC championship game, big fourth down decision, Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game, Kadarius Toney, Travis Kelce lateral. Every single time you sit down on your couch, you are guaranteed to get an A-plus matchup. This is the best rivalry right now in American professional sports. Not just the NFL. This is the best rivalry in baseball. This is the best rivalry in basketball. This is the best rivalry in Olympic hockey, tennis, gymnastics, whatever sport you can think of. This is the best rivalry that we currently have with these two very proud organizations, with these two teams with great quarterbacks, great fan bases that support them. You cannot get better entertainment, better enjoyment. Football cannot be played at a higher level, I think, than what these two teams give us every time that they go up against each other. And I'm really excited to see it. I think for the first time, at least a while in the regular season, I think usually it feels like a coin flip between these two teams. I don't really think it's a coin flip this time. I think Kansas City is pretty clearly better than Buffalo on both offense and defense. Now, that's not to say that Buffalo can't win this game. They're at home. They're a very good offensive team. They leave a lot to be desired when we're talking about the defensive side. But they're the home team, emotional. They need this game, I think, a little bit more than Kansas City. Like, you certainly can find your arguments of how Buffalo wins this game. But if we are talking about where we currently sit heading into this matchup, Kansas City is better offensively. Kansas City is better on defense. They are playing more consistent football right now than I think Buffalo is. I just think they're the better team, and I expect them to win this matchup as we are heading into it. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the return of Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell is back. Boy, he looks so happy. He was play fighting with Chris Jones. He looks so happy to be back. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Patrick Mahomes coming up in an hour.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 1 hour, we will play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll take a mid-season look at the NFC that feels like it's kind of wrapped up. We'll talk about that in a bit. We led today's show talking about the rivalry that exists between these two teams. I think this is the best rivalry that we currently have in American sports. This is what a rivalry should feel like. No, it doesn't have the same historical feeling of a Packers-Bears or a Chiefs-Raiders. It's not a divisional rivalry. It doesn't have that level of importance in your division. But every year, you know that this is a measuring stick between these two teams. They play each other every single season. They have played each other every year since COVID. And these are one score, one possession games. They're in playoff games. They have great implications on who's going to be the one seed, who's going to host the AFC championship game, who's potentially going on the road, who can win MVP, who doesn't win MVP. It does not get bigger stakes in the regular season, we've seen, than when these two teams go up against each other. So I'm excited for this. You know, every single time that these two teams get together, you know you're in for a treat. You know that it is going to be a very highly competitive, very physical, very important football game, and the ratings will be very reflective of that whenever we get those for this matchup. Rob, now I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. Text line, I'm sure a couple of you have experienced this. 913-586-7965. There are various different honeymoon feelings that you experience in a relationship. You know, when you first start to date a young lady or a young man or whomever your partner is, you know, the early part is really good. It's getting to learn the other person. You're going on dinner dates. You're asking little fun questions. You can't wait to text and talk to them. You wake up and good morning. You know, that early chase, that feeling of the chase is a very exciting feeling. Well, there's another thing that also gives you that same feeling. It's when you get that second opportunity. You guys fell out for whatever reason. You guys disconnected. You've dated other people. They've dated other people. But in the back of your mind, you always are like, man, I really miss Sally. You then check on Instagram. You check on Facebook. You see that Sally's available. You start sending little messages. You know, you just miss being around Sally. And then when you guys decide to give it another try, oh, you get that second honeymoon feeling, but it's a little bit different and better feeling because you don't got to ask all the annoying, what's your favorite movie? You already got the inside jokes built in. You already got your little secret handshake. You've already met moms before. You are able to skip a lot of the nonsense that you got to do early in a relationship, and you can just get to the fun part. That's a very exciting feeling. That's what Mike Pinnell is doing right now. Have you guys seen the video? Both he and Chris Jones look like two of the happiest people in the world. That's how they look. They look like two of the happiest people in the world. They look like TJ Holmes and Amy from Good Morning America is how they look when they see each other. I mean, they gave each other a hug and they had their little secret handshake together and they were slap boxing out there. I mean, I'm happy for Chris Jones. I'm happy for Mike Pinnell. Man, you didn't sign up to play with Joe Flacco. You didn't sign up to play with Jake Browning. That's not what you signed up for when you were a free agent. That's not what they sold you on. When they told you to come play for us, they sold you on going to play with Joe Burrow. They sold you on a chance of helping us get back to the Super Bowl. They didn't sell you a 7-win team, but that's what you're currently playing on. So when you figure out that you got a way to get out of that team and you got a chance to go back home, oh my goodness, he jumped at the opportunity. That man wasn't a free agent for 8 hours before he was on the plane coming back to Kansas City. Now he's in the locker room. They got his stuff up there. I mean, they never really put his stuff away. You didn't throw none of Sally's stuff away. You had to put it in a box from your current girlfriend, but you just couldn't bear to throw all of it away. All of those memories, all those fun times that you had. And now look at you. You're back together. Chris Jones, I'm happy for you.
Everything. And hopefully, you know, life do a full circle and we get my guy back. Mike Pinnell is a heck of a locker room guy. And, you know, so many things I can say about my brother. We got to get my brother back.
Got to get him back. And then you figure out you got a shot, and then they get him, and then you get to see him. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations, Chris Jones. I'm not happy for me. I'm not happy for you. I'm happy for Chris Jones. Because the smile on his face, it was worth whatever amount of money that they spent. It really was. I'm guessing it wasn't a whole lot of money. I'm sure we'll see some contract terms. I mean, he was making $1.1 million with Cincinnati. That was at the beginning of the season. Chop that in half. If it's an extra $500,000 to make Chris Jones happy and get the most out of him, I mean, hey, you got your guy to play bags with in the locker room. You got your guy to play ping pong back. Now it's a random Tuesday. We both got nothing to do. Let's go to 1587. Let's go get something to eat. Chris, I'm happy for you, man. You got your dog back. Salute to you, man.
Sometimes it's just
It's the little things, you know? And I think, I mean, it's not impossible to believe. I'm not predicting it, but I'm not saying it won't happen. That now that Chris Jones has his best team back next to him, he might be a little more free, play with a little more energy, play a little more juice. We might never again this season talk about his effort, because there's just something about, like, you have your coworker, you have your guy back. Like, people understand this analogy. Sometimes, you know, you grow up, you're 35, 40, 45, 50. You don't see, like, your homeboy as much anymore. You got kids, you're married.
For sure.
But then when you do see him and you get that chance to hang out again, it feels like the old times. And I wonder if Chris Jones, instead of lining up next to Jerry Tillery or Derek Nnadi, is going to get a bolt of life the same way you do when you're hanging out with an old friend, because Mike Pinnell is going to be to his right or left and not some stranger who just showed up who doesn't know anything. It's Mike's back. I wonder if Chris Jones will improve because his bestie is next to him.
I'm telling you, man. I had the same thing happen to me this weekend. One of my best friends, he lives in San Francisco. He moved there about 4 years ago, but we make plans a couple of times a year to meet back up and watch football together. I mean, I watch football with this individual basically every Sunday for 6 years. So then when he moved to San Francisco, I kind of went through a bout of depression. I was sad on Sunday. I mean, I'm watching Red Zone. It ain't hitting the way that it used to hit. And then when we got the chance to watch football again, oh my goodness, the laughs come back, the jokes. I got a chance to watch football with them this weekend. I didn't even care none of the games were good. None of the games were good. The best game this past weekend was Jets and Bengals. It didn't matter. I had my dog back. We're sitting there laughing. We're drinking a Mick Ultra. We got our parlays going. We're talking about them. Great time. There's nothing like getting your friends back. And someone on the text line makes a very, very good point about Chris Jones. We know that Chris Jones has recently had some heartbreak in his family, recently had some things to be down about. Now you get your guy back in the locker room. He's cheering you up. He's putting you in a good mood. You're excited to come to work every single day. Who knows what version of Chris Jones you'll get now that you got Mike Pinnell back. This is an exciting development for everybody. Now, when I think about it, everybody should be happy that Mike Pinnell is back. These two grown men were slap boxing and play fighting each other at work today. You know they're both in a good mood. Let me play this for you. This is Bob Fesco. He was talking about the trade deadline that we're less than a week away from the trade deadline. The trade deadline is November 4th. It is the 29th of October. So you ain't got that much time. You need to start getting your affairs in order if you're going to make a move. Here's Bob Fesco talking about the trade deadline.
The trade stuff is interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday that's close to the situation about the trades. I'm like, where are we here? What's going on? And quiet, silent, cold out there was the word that I got. Cold. There's nothing going on right
Accurate.
Now. Yeah, exactly. Misty. Like, you look at the weather right now today, that's the trade market in the NFL right now. And I texted back. I go, teams aren't willing to admit they suck yet. And the response was LOL, right? But that's where we are. I think after this weekend, I think we'll see a sprint to the trade deadline on Tuesday. I feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see that sprint as well. There's just not a lot of time in between this Sunday's action and when the trade deadline actually happens on Tuesday. So I would agree with Bob there. So I was on ESPN today, and I would highly encourage any NFL fan to check this out. So they did a what's going on with every team in the National Football League. So they had Jeremy Fowler, who's one of their top reporters, kind of comment on every situation. They had the individual beat reporter, so somebody like Nate Taylor, give his thoughts, give his opinion. And then they had kind of like a pro football focus kind of outlook on every team. So let's go through this. So the question was, is your favorite team looking to add, subtract, or are they sitting out? From Jeremy Fowler, I believe the Chiefs are going to largely stand pat, save for a modest defensive move. The Chiefs are inclined to stay put on the offensive side, but they will continue to explore defensive line depth. This is my question to you, Rob, and I asked you this in a forum yesterday. Do you think that this is it for them when we're talking about their defensive line? They went out and they got Mike Pinnell. The only other player, I guess, I think that is obviously available for them is Colin Saunders. He is on an NFL practice squad. So if you want to go get Colin Saunders, I mean, you've had the ability all season to go get Colin Saunders, and you haven't saved him from the Jacksonville Jaguars practice squad. Maybe you want to get him. Maybe you don't want to get him. Maybe you're waiting for this thing to happen. Maybe you're not. Who knows? But I think these are the kind of moves that the Chiefs are looking at. I don't think the Chiefs are making a Joshua Uche kind of move this season. I think the Chiefs feel very, very good about where they're at, and they should feel very good about where they're at, and the Chiefs are going to go with what they know. That has just been a theme so far of this season. Think about the offseason and free agency. When they had a chance at running back, they went back and they got Kareem Hunt. When they were looking for wide receiver help, they brought back Juju, they brought back Hollywood Brown. When they were looking for this position or this position, like, they have largely stayed with guys who have been on the team recently. So if you're telling me they were looking for defensive line help, and then lo and behold, Mike Pinnell comes back, a guy who played in 31% of the snaps last year, just becomes available and you don't have to make any kind of roster move really to go get him, I think you go get him, and I think that's their move. Now, they could make another kind of shuffling the deck chair kind of move, but I genuinely think this is it. I think that Mike Pinnell is going to be the biggest move that they make between now and November 4th.
So, I agree with you. I agree with Jeremy Fowler. I don't know the Chiefs are making another move, and if they do make another move, I don't know it's one like even to DeAndre Hopkins level from last year, which I wouldn't call DeAndre Hopkins like an earth shaking, can you believe they did that type of move? But it was big.
They're would for the Chiefs. I actually think that's a pretty big
that's
move.
That's fair. I don't know they're going to make a Joshua Uche type of move. Maybe they make a McCole Hardman move, because remember a couple of years ago, I believe it was 23, maybe the Chiefs made a 7th round pick move for McCole Hardman. Maybe that level of move is coming. It's transactions for the sake of transactions. So, maybe that's coming, but man, what Jeremy Fowler's reporting and what Bob is hearing, and he's setting that cut, I do think is of note. Not the part where he's like, oh, teams don't know they suck yet, but the trade deadline is quiet. You want to know why? There's a lot of teams in what we call the wash on this show. They're in the I don't know category. If you're, I don't know the name of the man, but if you're the GM of the Houston Texans, what are you doing in 4 days or this in a week? Are you selling? Are you buying? You're what? In the race, but not in the race. USA Today thinks you're going to finish 8-9. You're a team that was in the playoffs last year. Like, how good are the Colts? Like, there's a lot of questions for the Texans. Maybe for the Texans, you're not selling. So if a Texans level of team isn't selling, then you got to figure all the teams at that level aren't selling. For a cross-conference analogy, if you're the Cowboys, are you shipping off parts in a week? Or are you standing pat, maybe trying to add a small piece and saying, hey, you know, we feel like we have the offense, make a few moves, we're still in this thing, it's wide open. I think there are so many teams that are in that I don't know category as far as good, bad, or indifferent, that I don't know a lot of players are available. And because of that, the players that are going to be available on your Browns, on your Jets, on your Dolphins, your dregs of the league, the price went up because there's just not an abundance of players. So armed with what Jeremy Fowler is saying and armed with what Bob is hearing, yes, I do believe the Chiefs are done, because I just don't know there's a lot of availability for the Chiefs, because I think a lot of teams are taking the phone call and being like, we kind of like where we're at, we're going to play it out, and they're not quitting on the 2025 season.
I think one thing is pretty important when it comes to all of this. Like, I think this is really, really important. I don't think people want to admit this. I think people really want the NFL to be baseball and basketball when it comes to the deadline, and I just don't think it is. So, Rob, we can go through it here really quickly. There were 8 trades made last year at the deadline. Do you think that any of these trades worked? So, one of the trades. Here in Kansas City, DeAndre Hopkins got traded around the deadline. Do you think that deal worked out for Kansas City? I would say it was a kind of move. Yeah, that's what
it
was.
They went to the Super Bowl.
They were going to the Super Bowl whether or not DeAndre Hopkins was on the team or not.
They had no receivers. So, I mean, I lean yes, but it's a very much move.
So, last year at the deadline, we saw Devontae Adams get traded. We saw Jerome Baker and Ernest Jones get traded at the deadline. We saw Baron Browning get traded. Remember last year, the Amari Cooper trade was a really big deal last year. That was a team that added a wide receiver. Amari Cooper had a minimal impact
and then retired
at the end of the season. Deontay Johnson got traded at the deadline. Marshawn Lattimore got traded last year.
That one I would say had the most impact. That's probably the biggest one you've... It's not big, but it's the biggest you've mentioned so far.
Jonathan Mingo got traded. I just think that... Our sports brains hear trade deadline And I think we look at it like baseball. We've seen baseball teams make big-time trades, and it has put them over the hump. That happened in Kansas City with Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto. The Royals don't win the World Series without making those kind of trades. We've seen CeCe Sabathia and Zach Greinke. You can go up and down the line of big-time players that get traded at the deadline, and there is a noticeable impact when that player gets there. This happens every year in the NBA. There's a team or two that maybe you don't pick up a star player, but you'll pick up a rotational piece. You'll pick up a guy that, hey, this guy can be a really good starter for us. He can knock down a couple of big shots. We need a guy like this when it gets to the postseason. I just don't think football works that way. I don't know if, A, I don't think those players are just available. Like, if your team struggles to get to the quarterback, I'm sorry, you ain't fixing it at the deadline, because no team is cheaply giving you a good pass rusher. That ain't how the NFL works. If your team is really missing a wide receiver, you ain't getting a really good wide receiver at the deadline. You're getting somebody like DeAndre Hopkins, who is on the 16th hole of his career. It's over for the most part. So yeah, you can get a fifth round pick, fourth round pick. He'll help you a little bit. He's not an explosive player. He's not a dynamic player. I just think when we have these conversations about the deadline, NFL fans want it to be something that is just not. So equipped with that information, you're not going to hear me talk about trading a second or a third round pick. No, do what you just did with Mike Pinnell. There's going to be veteran players that get released from their team between now and the end of the season. This happens every single year in the National Football League. Kareem Hunt was a free agent. Anybody in the league could have got him. Mike Pinnell was a free agent. Anybody in the league could have got him. Focus on hitting those picks. Go get that guy, a guy that knows your system, knows your locker room. You don't got to spend any real money, no draft assets. Go get that guy, add him to the team, and see what happens. Find somebody on a practice squad now that the rosters have expanded. Now guys like Colin Saunders are there, a guy that's been in the league 6-7 years. I'd much rather you do that than to me trading fourth and fifth round picks on a guy who I think history is telling you those moves just they don't help you as much as you think they're going to help.
I agree with you that my sports brain hears trade deadline and gets excited. I think about, you know, I remember the 1 year the Cavs went on a selling spree. They traded Dwayne Wade. They like basically rebuilt their roster in February. We've seen it in the NBA multiple times. Last year, Jimmy Butler became a Warrior. Like it, we're so conditioned to hear trade deadline and think that's coming that I think that's why you get people on the text line asking about, hey, what would it take to get Kayvon Thibodeau? Hey, what would it take to get Myles Garrett? Hey,
those guys don't ever get traded at the NFL trade deadline. Yeah, you're right. That's an NBA conversation.
And I think that's what happens. And you beat me to the punch here is that I think we get excited for the trade deadline. You hear buzz and rumors the Chiefs could be looking for D-line. I'll keep it local. And people then get in their head and they're like, oh, in baseball, when people are looking for a bullpen arm, they trade for a closer. When they're looking for a starter, they trade for a front end guy. When they're looking for, hey, we need a shooter, they don't trade for the ninth. They don't trade for Jason Capono. They trade for a legit star.
Drew Holiday's available at the trade deadline. Yeah.
That's what's happening in the NFL. It's not what's happening in the NFL. At the NFL, it's like, hey, the Chiefs are scouring the market for D-line. Well, you know what they're scouring for? Colin Saunders and Jalen Phillips. They're not scouring for Myles Garrett. They're not scouring for Kayvon Thibodeau. Those guys just aren't actually available this time of year.
Yeah, no, those guys aren't available in October. Those guys are available in March and April. Like, we all believe that A.J. Brown at some point is going to be traded from Philadelphia. I don't know when, but he is going to be traded. Those kind of trades that significantly impact your roster, those just happen in the time frame between the combine and the draft. Once you get past that point, sure, there might be something that just pops up. There might be one of those kind of one-off trades that happen, but yeah, for the most part, like a Micah Parsons, but that happens once every 5 to 7 years. You're just not drastically changing your roster at this point in the season. Rob, let me ask you this. Are we done in the NFC? Right now, I think these are the 7 playoff teams. Green Bay, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Those are the 7 playoff teams as we sit right now. And then you've got your others in contention. Chicago, Carolina, Dallas, Atlanta. I'm not here to waste your time once we get past that. Now, I'm not saying these are going to be the exact seeding that we have the rest of the year. The one seed is still very much up for grabs. Who can win certain divisions are very much still up for grabs. But my point more is, are we done in who we think the possible playoff teams are going to be? Could you see any of these other teams in the NFC crashing the party? I don't think Chicago is a playoff team. I think we possibly got a little bit overvalued on Caleb Williams after he cooked that Cowboys defense that's getting Swiss cheesed up by everybody. I don't think the Bears are winning enough games to go. I think you're going to have to win possibly 11 games to make the playoffs in the NFC. I don't think Chicago's winning 11 games this year. I don't think Carolina's winning 11 games this year. The Cowboys defense is not good enough to win 11 games this year. I think we could be at a point that halfway through the season, we already know all of the playoff teams in the NFC, and we're only talking about seeding and positioning the rest of the way.
I mean, a little peek behind the curtain here for listeners. When you were talking about the show earlier, said, hey, I think the NFC playoff picture is done. Let's talk about it. Okay, I'll put it on the board. I thought to myself, it's week 8. You're nuts. The NFL, things change fast. I mean, 6 weeks ago, the Chiefs were 0-2, and if you're watching basically any national talking head show, the Chiefs were dead, you know, the dynasty is over, da-da-da. 6 weeks later, we're having Halloween, and the Chiefs are everyone's top team. So when we initially talked about this, I felt like, man, that's a little knee-jerk. It's a little, you know, early to make that decision. But I'm staring at the standings. Unless you believe in the Bears or you believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to just hit the ground running for the Vikings, I think you're right. I don't believe in Dallas. I'm naming the fringe teams. I don't believe in the Commanders. We just talked about the Bears and the Vikings are the only ones of note, but I don't believe in either of them. The Panthers, 100% don't believe in the Panthers to be a playoff team. They're a spicy 8-9, and everyone gets to keep their job. Happy for them. And the Cardinals are the only other team that's outside the playoffs looking in. Maybe Atlanta's in that spicy category, but I truly don't understand the Falcons. They might be the most confusing team in the NFL. I think now it's a matter of when and where games are going to be in the NFC. Because you're right, staring at it, I don't know that a surprise, can you believe they made this run type of team is coming in the NFC.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it, and to me, there appears to be a pretty clear break, I would say, in who you think is consistent and who you don't think is consistent. Those first seven teams that I mentioned, they've been pretty consistent from start to finish. Seattle, Detroit, the Rams, Tampa. Those group of teams have been consistent from August until now. That's not what Carolina's been. That's not what Dallas has been, Atlanta, any of those teams. Honestly, if you're telling me that one of these teams, like who could potentially make a playoff spot that isn't there? I think Washington might be in the conversation. Just like I could see a scenario in which their quarterback comes back, he gets hot, and we see them going to run toward the end of the season, and the Commanders could get to 10 wins. Is that a possibility for them down the stretch? Sure, I think so. I think it's a possibility. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but if you're telling me out of all of these teams that we just mentioned, so all the fringe teams, the teams that currently would be outside of the playoffs, which of those teams do I think has the best chance of winning 10 games? I think the Commanders are the right answer to this, and maybe Minnesota you would have there a second. So if you're taking a look at the NFC, and the AFC is just a completely different conversation when talking about who those teams could potentially be, I think we're just about done, at least in the NFC. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot more movement just because I think you see where all the good quarterbacks are in the conference, and I think you see the group of the others. And right now, the teams that got good quarterbacks are in the postseason, and the ones that don't find themselves on the outside looking in. Coming up on the other side, let's put to bed the game against the Washington Commanders. We'll go around the national media and hear what they had to say about the Chiefs' win on Monday night. We got Patrick Mahomes set to join the show coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
We're going to be joined by Patrick Mahomes coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Right now, why don't we take a trip around the National Football League and hear what the national voices were saying about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs started their homestand 2-3 with a Sunday night football game against the Lions. The Chiefs come out of that, in my opinion. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now. I don't care what the records say. I would pick the Chiefs right now in a game against any team in the National Football League, regardless of where it was. The way that they're playing on offense, the way that they're playing defensively, I think the Chiefs, given their history and track record and the benefit of the doubt that I'm going to give them, I think the Chiefs right now are the best team in the National Football League. Here is Pat McAfee. Here's his opinion on the Chiefs.
And then all of a sudden, boom, the Kansas City Chiefs start to do what Kansas City Chiefs start doing. And then Travis Kelce starts going absolutely absurd. Rashee Rice gets in the end zone. And inevitably, the Kansas City Chiefs win 28-7 in a game that was not very thrilling. But it is nice to know that these Chiefs is all the way back. The Chiefs are going to be who we thought they were going to be coming into this season. The Chiefs are who they have been over the last few years. Travis Kelce's getting younger. I saw him in the open field trying a little two steps on people. And obviously he's making some magic, but with what Patrick Mahomes is able to do on any given football field at any given moment, we all understand how good the Chiefs could be. Now they're playing like it. So shout to the Chiefs being all the way back.
Yeah.
And maybe even better.
This is the analogy I'll make about the Chiefs. And last year when the Chiefs were a 15-win team, despite the fact that they were winning these games, you just knew that there was more, you know? It's like your son's getting B's. I mean, you can't be unhappy with him getting B's, but you know he should be getting A's, you know? I don't feel like you're applying yourself. I don't feel like you're doing the best that you can do. Well, the Chiefs are getting A's now. They're getting an A offensively. They scored 89 points in their homestand. They're getting an A defensively. They allowed 24 points, and they allowed 7 in their last two games at Arrowhead. The Chiefs right now are getting A's across the board. Now, again, the special teams is one thing, but you know what? I'm not here to focus in on Harrison Butker or Jack Cochran, who, again, got another penalty. But offensively, defensively right now, things are flowing at such a high level. I'm with you. I think the Chiefs right now are playing some of the best football that we've seen them play in the Patrick Mahomes era. Here is Dan Graziano. He is on ESPN's Get Up. Here's what he had to say about the Chiefs.
The best team in the AFC this year is the Colts.
Yeah,
they're 7-1, probably should be 8-0, and they'd be a plus 116 point differential. They're killing teams.
Yeah.
But the scariest team in the AFC is the Chiefs because they're playing at this level right now, and we know what the second half of the season looks like. We know what January and February looks like for Kansas City. It is much more difficult to beat them. So having the creativity of Andy Reid with the guys he has now that he can deploy to execute that creativity, Mahomes playing at this level, I just think it's
– we didn't even get the Spags in the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point there at the end by Dominique Foxworthy. Like, there's so much conversation around the Chiefs offense, very understandable with the way that Mahomes has played and now put himself into the MVP favorite, that I don't think their defense is getting nearly enough credit. I would say locally and nationally, to be honest with you. I don't think their defense is getting nearly enough credit. The way they're not getting enough credit for where they dominated the Raiders. I don't care who it is. You dominate another NFL team like that, hold them to less than 100 yards from scrimmage, and basically, the Commanders put one drive together. They put one drive together that was aided by an incredible catch by Terry McLaurin on the sideline. They put one drive together in the game. Just one drive for the most part. Last thing I want to play here for you guys, this is Chris Canty. He was on First Take. Here's what he had to say about the Chiefs.
What Patrick Mahomes is doing is otherworldly, Stephen A. Last night marked his third straight game with 3+ passing touchdowns. Last time he did that was the 2021 season when he had Tyreek Hill on the roster.
Yeah.
Right? He leads the league in passing yards and completions outside of the pocket. So his ability to be able to extend the down takes this offense to a different level.
Say that again. Talk about he's not a quote runner. He's not like a dual.
No.
But outside the pocket,
he leads the league in passing yards and completions outside of the pocket.
That's unreal.
Which makes him a cheat code for Andy Reid, and it's frustrating for defensive linemen and opposing defensive coordinators because you can't plan for the improvisation that Mahomes brings to the party.
Yeah.
Last night, the distribution and touches, four different runners with design runs, catches by six different receivers.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's coming from with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the scary proposition about this team, Doggy, is that the offense is not even the best phase of the football team.
That was Chris Canty earlier today on First Take talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Certainly to be expected when you win three straight games the way that Kansas City has won them, and just the history, the track record, what you've accomplished over the last couple of years. The Chiefs are more than certainly getting their flowers right now. Is, in my opinion, I think they're the best team in the league. Maybe if you don't have them as the best team in the league, then they're certainly a top three team in the league. I don't know how that can really be denied at this point. Rob, I have to ask you a question. Now, I honestly, genuinely did not have this information, and that might be my fault. I don't spend a lot of time with the MLS. I don't watch a lot of MLS. But yesterday, I am out at dinner, and, you know, they have the televisions up. And, you know, they were getting ready to turn them to the World Series and also to the Tuesday NBA game now. Well, when I got there, it was on hockey and soccer. So I was like, oh, okay, man, I get it. It's hockey season. I didn't know it was still soccer season, but okay. So as they're showing this MLS game, they then show the playoff bracket. You know how they do. And then it said championship game. And the championship game was in December. It was December 6th. Wait, hold on. How long is the MLS soccer season? And they got them playing soccer games in December? Has that happened in Kansas City? We've had a soccer game outside in December? Because soccer doesn't really feel like a winter sport to me. It feels like a spring, summer, maybe late fall kind of thing. They're playing soccer games 2 weeks from Christmas? What's going on?
So first things first, this has happened in Kansas City. In 2013, Sporting wins the MLS Cup. They host the championship game. It was in December. It was the same day as the SEC title game between Auburn and Missouri. So it was that December day they hosted.
Okay, this was a while ago. Okay.
They haven't been back to the game since then. But yes, that happened. Also, I would tell you that every other country in the world plays the winter schedule when it comes to soccer. Like England, Spain, Italy, name a country that plays soccer outside of the United States, Mexico,
and
Canada.
So it's cold outside, snowing, and they play in soccer.
They play from August to May, and everywhere in the world, except for in America, they play February to December. And if we're going to get in the weeds here, there are talks, there are murmurs, the MLS could be moving to the winter schedule following the 26th World Cup.
When would that be again?
They would play the same time that England does, which would be August to the ensuing May.
Y'all got it, man. I don't have no thoughts. I don't have any other opinions. I just let me stay out of it. I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm trying to position your season directly against the National Football League just doesn't sound like a great idea to me. It doesn't seem like something I would do, but hey, if that's what MLS soccer wants to do, more power to them. I'll tell you one thing. My attendance in my one or two soccer games a year is definitely going down. I ain't going out to no soccer game in October. I'm not going to one in November. That's crazy to me.
I just tell you.
But for a nice June activity, I like going out to Sporting Park.
They are looking to make the game more with the European model, and the European model is they play in the winter.
Y'all got it, man.
Now, I would tell you that winter in England and Spain is far less harsh than winter in, I don't know, Minnesota. Winter in Kansas City. Winter in New York and Boston. I think it's a little different playing in Manchester than it is playing in Minneapolis, but MLS is kicking the tires on the idea post-World Cup.
Someone on the a lot of people on the text are like, oh, how did you not know that, bro? I don't know nothing about it. I couldn't tell you one player on this Sporting team. Well, we got our guy, Jake Davis, right? That's yep. I could say that. I know one.
Well, that's because this year's Sporting team was terrible.
I know. I did know that. I knew they were terrible.
Really bad.
I did know they were. I'm serious. I honestly just learned this yesterday. I had absolutely no clue that soccer ends their season in the middle of December in America. That just doesn't sound like a great idea to me. It just doesn't sound very good. Someone said, CDOT, it's the biggest sport in the world. I bet Carrington changes this too next summer. Oh, I will definitely bandwagon soccer when it's cool to like it and then put it down and then never touch it again. That's normal. You know what? I will treat soccer the way you guys treat the Royals. That's how I treat them, like the Royals. That's how I'm going to treat them. Hey, whenever the Royals got a big game, we show up for that one. We're happy to go to that one. But when they got a Tuesday against Cleveland in April, nah, you ain't going to that one. That's how I'm going to treat soccer next summer. Boy, I can't wait to fake like soccer next year. Well, they got Messi playing. They got Ronaldo. Man, I'm going to know everything I know about the World Cup here coming up in a couple of months. I can't wait to go to the World Cup. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to Chiefs and Bills. We'll also play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.